So tell me all about being in an open relationship.
Anjir, langsung ditembak banget nih.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of challenges, but because we get to explore meaningful relationships with other people, it's right. been quite rewarding as well.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's like when people say, when you have kids,
mm-hmm.
it's challenging but rewarding.
Right.
So it's kind of the same for me personally.
I'm assuming you've been in monogamous relationships before and then... Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna assume the story goes, you've been in a monogamous relationship before or a few, and you just realize, like, this is really not it for me. Like, but what made you realize that, oh, monogamy is not for me? Like, which aspect of it?
Honestly speaking, and I've talked about this publicly, I'm not proud of this, but I've actually been in an unethical non-monogamous relationships, aka cheating. Yeah, I was a serial cheater. And then that's when I realized, I think this is not for me. Like, long-term monogamy is not for me. I think it's very unrealistic for me. So I would like to try exploring ethical non-monogamy where all the partners involved have to be honest and transparent with each other.
I can definitely see how monogamy is not for everybody. And I think that's very interesting. Now you're getting me thinking about how a lot of these people that cheat on their partners and, like, you know, commit infidelity and all of that. I give some grace to consider how we live in a society that for a really long time has always pushed everybody to prescribe to just one way of being in a relationship, in a romantic relationship, and that is monogamy, not taking into consideration how, yeah, it's not built for everybody. And then what ends up happening for some people, like with you, is that, I mean, you're built the way that you are built, right? Like, you are just somebody who is not meant for monogamy. And when we try to confine you into monogamous relationships, like, of course it doesn't end up working, and then you just end up hurting other people.
Yeah, but the thing to that, to what I said, is kayak netizen suka nanya juga, kayak, oh, kalau cheaters mungkin dibuka aja relationship-nya. No, that doesn't always work,
okay.
Because cheaters don't necessarily like uncomfortable conversations. Because again, ini ethical non-monogamy, itu benar-benar it's about honesty and transparency.
Right.
So if you're not willing to do that with yourself, if you're not willing to be honest with yourself and with your partner and other partners,
yeah,
then this is not going to work.
Well, that too, it's because society has, when you think about it, society has never even given people the space to be able to have these open, honest conversations about what I want, what I'm looking for in a partner, that no, I don't just want to be stuck with just one person. I want to explore all of my options out there. And the moment that people do try to have that conversation, which I'm sure you can attest to, you know, there's massive backlash from the public.
Yeah, the thing is, like, okay, even when you're... when you choose to commit with one person, it doesn't mean that you stop being attracted to other people.
Oh my God,
when
yes.
that happens,
yeah.
then you need to be able to talk about it at the very least.
Right.
Ngomongin aja dulu, paling gak dong.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we're not allowed to do that, then apa? What ends up happening is, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. Let me try that one.
Yeah. I mean, earlier you were telling me behind the scenes about how there's still a lot of
emotional labor.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotional labor, particularly, like, there's still feelings of jealousy and insecurity that arises when you're in an open relationship with your... What's the proper terminology? Like, I'm so sorry, because part of what's difficult about having this this part of the conversation for today's episode is that I don't actually know a lot of people that... are in an open relationship, that are in an open relationship, and I don't know the vernacular to use. So do you refer to, like, your main partner? Is that what they're
we call it
Life partner,
anchor partner,
your anchor partner,
or primary partner.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, primary partner, there you go, that's a better way of putting it. So yeah, you were talking about how even with your, when you find out that your primary partner, let's say, are engaging in an open relationship with somebody else. Am I wording it correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Or like, nggak, sebenarnya lebih kayak pursuing other connections.
Pursuing other connections. There you go. Thank you. You find out your primary partner is pursuing other connections with other people, and that there's feelings of jealousy and insecurity that arises. And so I guess it begs the question for me then why choose to be in an open relationship to begin with if those are the feelings that come with it? Like, one would think that you would want to avoid having to deal with those negative emotions. You know?
But the thing is, like, the question that I'm going to ask you again mm-hmm. is, okay, does being in a monogamous relationship isolate you from feeling all the uncomfortable feelings? Like, do you stop feeling jealous even if you're monogamous? I don't think so. You can feel jealous for anybody. Mm-hmm. Because I actually have a poly specialist therapist in the States. Mm-hmm. And she's been in a polyamorous relationship for 10 years. And I asked her the same question. Do you still feel jealous? Do you still feel insecure? Do you still feel the pain? And then she said, yeah, of course. I'm not immune to that just mm-hmm. because I commit to being in this type of relationship. Mm-hmm. But she said, the good news is it goes away. And then
you just learn to manage it.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. learn the skills, the tools mm-hmm. to cope with it. Mm-hmm. And then you can tolerate it better over time.
Mm. To play devil's advocate, I guess what some, maybe even some listeners, what they might argue is that, well, within a monogamous relationship, oftentimes, like these days, in most monogamous relationships, is that people be getting jealous over shit that's not really worth getting jealous of.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, that's one part of the conversation. Like, we can talk about that later. But then the devil's advocate, like, the argument would be that in the case of an open relationship, like, there is actually something that is worthy of being jealous of. Do you see what I'm saying? Whereas, like, a lot of times...
It's in your face, bang.
It's very in your face. And it's, like, the cause of the jealousy is clear, it's understandable, it's like literally right there. Whereas a lot of times, not in every single monogamous relationship, obviously, but what tends to happen within monogamous relationships, especially these days, is that a lot of times there's really nothing much to be getting jealous of, but it's just because they're jealous people. Yeah.
And also, not jealous, but insecure people.
That, yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
also because I feel monogamy gives you the illusion mm-hmm. of security. Mm-hmm. Because you feel like, oh yeah, we have an agreement that I commit to you and you commit to me only.
Right.
But then reality.
Right.
People are can't be stopped from mm-hmm. being attracted to other people. And then, you know, when they have problems, maybe they want to, instead of talking to their partner about their problems, they end up confiding uh-huh. in other people. Mm-hmm. You know, a shoulder to cry on becomes a dick to ride on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, 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 for sure. And I've said this before on the show as well, which I've gotten quite a bit of backlash for, I'm not going to lie. But the fact that monogamy in itself is unrealistic when you think about how, why is there this idea? Like, I'm somebody who, okay, I believe in monogamy. And I'm 26 years old, for context, for those of you that don't know, and where I'm at in my, I guess, dating life, like my love life, my love journey, the next person that I date, I'm dating for home run, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm aiming for forever and always with this one person. But at the same time, I acknowledge how just the idea of being with one person for the rest of your life, I mean, lucky for you if that, you know, I think with some people, like, that's definitely true. And I mean, you could argue that we've had our, you know, ancestors and like our grandparents, like they were able to do that. But also because divorce wasn't really much of an option back then, to be honest.
Yeah, and also for the rest of our lives is a long time.
Yes, the rest of your life is a long time. And when
let's say you get married 2 years from now, which mm-hmm. means you're 28. And then average lifespan is like however long.
Yeah.
Itu long time banget, dude, for both of you.
And think about how much you change as a person.
Yeah.
Like, you change a lot as a person even in just 1 year. You know, what more throughout the entirety of your lifespan? And it's not far-fetched, in my opinion, to see how, of course, sometimes it's to no fault of anybody, but you just outgrow each other.
Yeah.
Right?
And you then drift apart.
Yeah,
and that happens a lot. And that's why I think in monogamy or non-monogamy or whatever type of relationship that you choose, you commit to be in.
Yeah.
You have to choose this person mm-hmm. over and over again. And you make that conscious and deliberate decision mm-hmm. every single day.
Right.
Because otherwise, it doesn't matter what type of relationship you're in. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be able to, you know, mentrok sana, mentrok sini aja dong. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter.
Right. And you were saying earlier about how a lot of people online, like, they would tell you like, oh, kalau begitu, cheater, open relationship aja kayak gitu. And like, you were explaining the difference to that. I can see where they're going with that, but I also see your argument about how obviously with cheating, like the emphasis of it is
non-consensual.
It's not consensual. So what I'm trying to say,
not transparency.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that's why I'm encouraging for all of you listening to this episode, like this is the important part of sitting down with yourself and asking yourself, what do you want? So that it's so much better for you to just be open and honest about wanting an open relationship. You do that before you become a serial cheater or like somebody who, cheats on your partner and commits infidelity, because that's so much
worse. Or be an asshole.
Yeah, rather than being an asshole. So really quickly, you guys, I want to give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, Onda. Tahu nggak guys, aku setahun sekali tuh sama mami aku harus jauh-jauh pergi ke Kalimantan, naik perahu, go uphill some forest and bumfuck middle of nowhere. What's membayangin nenek moyang. And ya, kebayang lah, it's not the easiest place to find clean water to wash my face, to wash my hands. Apalagi kalau mau cuci area-area yang sensitif, ya itu lumayan sulit ya guys. Tapi untuk trip tahun depan sama trip-trip berikutnya, aku gak bakal punya masalah sama itu lagi karena udah ada PJS 20 dari Onda. All you need are two pieces of A3 batteries. You control the water pressure from these two buttons right here. You fill this tube up with up to 140 milliliters of water. Screw it back on. Screw it back on. You pull out this long adjustable thingy where the water comes out from. And yeah, you're all set.
Plant's fake, but it's okay.
I really appreciate the portability aspect of this device. It's super small and compact. It doesn't take up a lot of space in my bag and my luggage, which is very convenient considering I'm already having to carry huge boxes of ancestral offerings up a freaking hill. Also, this comes with a pouch, so honestly, it can just like hang on my bag or whatever. Also, as somebody with sensitive and acne-prone skin, this is so convenient for one of those trips where I'm either outdoors, yang tadi aku bilang, lagi sembahyang, atau lagi nengok pemakaman, or one of those trips where, like, this one time I stayed at this $80 per night roach-infested motel in, like, the middle of Chinatown, San Francisco, where the water quality was just, not the best, and I'm worried what that's gonna do to my skin. Gampang kan? Kalau ada ini, I can just fill this up with clean water wherever and whenever I get the chance. Also, this comes with like a water filtration system already built in. Also, this can definitely last up to 2 cleaning sessions for your nether regions down below, because this can fill up to 140 milliliters of water. And just in time for the holiday season, which I know so many of you guys are gonna be doing a lot of traveling, you can get yourself one of these portable jet showers from Onda with up to 30,000 rupees off your purchase using the code Onda in on their official Tokopedia and Shopee stores. Links to those down in the description of this episode. That's Onda Inda, O-N-D-A-I-N-D-A-H. And if you'd like to match with me, get the pink one. Experience new ways to live with Onda Living. Now back to the episode.
Or at least, ini juga sih, I think you need to be able to be open to your partner.
Right.
And then talk about what cheating means to you.
Right.
Because what cheating means to me and to you and to the rest of people here might be different. Misalnya, right. You know, kayak netizen yang bilang, oh, kalau nge-like foto cewek lain di Instagram berarti cheating. I don't think so.
So you go on dating apps, well, just Bumble, right? So you go on dating apps when you go abroad.
Yeah, and then, but not always.
Yeah, not always. Yeah, but yeah. And then, I mean, how does that go? Like, is it easy to find somebody who you want to pursue,
engage with?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's challenging and rather disappointing, to be honest, because like for every one right swipe I had to swipe left I don't know however many hundred times.
Oh, so you just didn't like what was available in the market, like that's what you meant? Like you just don't like the options that are available on the market?
Yeah, so, and it's just so bad.
Oh, okay. But when you do match with when you do match with prospects, like how often do they then like get turned off by the knowledge of you being in an open relationship with somebody already? Or is that something you already disclosed?
I put it on my bio. Like, okay. I'm in an ethical non-monogamous relationship, and then I link my Instagram profile as well so they could see who my partner is, which is Joe, plastered all over my Instagram.
Yeah.
So that already explains. And I'm happy to say that I tend to gravitate towards people who are already in a non-monogamous relationships as well. So mm-hmm. I don't have to explain anything. Mm-hmm. But because they're more experienced than me, then I get to ask how their journey's been okay. and stuff, you know, get to learn from their mistakes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like free therapy.
Oh, okay. So that's usually what's part of the first date convo.
For sure. Like, how did you get into this? Like, mm-hmm. What about your dynamic? And like, how do you deal with this and this? And how do you deal with insecurity and jealousy? And how do you reassure your partner, whatever? And like, what kind of agreement do you have? What kind of boundaries and whatever? So it's interesting to learn about those from different people, because again, different people get that arrangement beda-beda semuanya. Because like, when it comes to non-monogamy, it's whatever fits us gitu loh, kayak mm-hmm. we design our own relationships.
When it comes to modern dating these days, not enough people, also because society doesn't really incentivize this, not enough people really sit down with themselves first and foremost and ask themselves what they want. When in reality, look, it's fine if you want to date for the purpose of just having fun. Or you want to date for the purpose of finding that one long-term partner that's like, you know, like you're aiming for home run with this one person forever and always with them, right? But a lot of people, they don't know that. And a lot of people, and I have friends from back in college for sure that fall into this, where deep down they really want that long-term monogamous forever and always relationship. But it's also part of the college culture, unfortunately, that focuses a lot on over promiscuity, but like hookup culture is very big.
Yeah,
in, like,
they just entertain fuckboys, right? Yeah. So like mm-hmm. that's your goal, mm-hmm. but then you're doing the things that, you know, not bringing you closer to the goal.
Yeah, yeah. But it's because I see this with a lot of my friends, how deep down what they really wanted was to find that one partner for the rest of their life, or like they want to pursue something serious that is long term, that is definitely, back in LA this was a little bit taboo to say, like more traditional relationships, right? But then in the backdrop of a college culture that really, it made you feel left out if you weren't engaging in like more, I guess, like hookup cultures and like, you know, more novelty type of relationships. And so what ends up happening, and like what I see from my friends, is that, you know, they go on all of these first dates, like in the context of them being these people that want to pursue this type of a relationship, they go into dates not asking the right questions that they should be asking in order to gauge whether or not this is the right person to meet this goal that I want. Yeah. They don't even know the goal that they want.
Yeah, exactly.
To begin with. And yeah, I definitely, when it comes to modern dating, in my experience too, but okay, my experience is very, not limited, but more so this new phase in my life where I want to pursue a relationship that is long-term and serious is very new. In the past, I've always been more of like, yeah, the novelty type of relationship where it's like, I just want to date you for fun. I'm not looking to get married.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I've been in situations definitely where I guess this is bad on my part, I guess, maybe, or like maybe it's no one's fault, but it's just like the lack of communication. But I guess the other guy showed up on the first date and started asking all of these like really big questions of like, how many kids do you want? Like, you know, what's your dream wedding and all that? And then I'm the one that's kind of like, okay, wait, holy shit. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
This is a little bit too much, like all in one go.
Yeah.
And it's just because of like, yeah, it's like just not. A lot of problems in life usually comes from just lack of communication, to be honest. And I guess that's part of it.
And expectations. Because the expectations that you have are not being communicated, mm-hmm. then there's a mismatch gitu kan jadinya.
Yeah.
And then, like, I told you before that I asked, my partner and I asked mm-hmm. these questions, like, these big questions, like, are you non-monogamous? Mm-hmm. Or do you prefer, what do you think about monogamy? And then, kayak, do you want kids? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to get married? And you know, all of those, you know, big questions on the first date mm-hmm. before we get too invested. And then we find out that, oh, we don't want the same things.
Right.
So we figure out it's better to just lay our cards all on the table mm-hmm. so that, Yoda, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. I can always grow. Yes. But this is who I am. Mm. Are we compatible? Right. We want the same things. Do we have similar values? If we don't, then yoda, we can just, you know, maybe have fun for a bit and then just walk away knowing that this is not for us. I think it saves a lot of time and filters out, for sure, definitely, the people that are not compatible with.
What are you doing right now? Like, are you on Bumble right now? Are you pursuing other partners? No.
No.
Okay.
I don't have any other partners aside from Joe, my anchor partner right now.
When was the last time you were on the market looking for prospective partners?
I think it was last summer.
How was your experience in terms of, like, shopping on the market? What do you think of the market that is out there?
Oh, yeah. It's bleak. Yeah. The future is very bleak.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Yeah. I feel the struggles. Like, I told Joe, I'm so grateful for him that I have him as my life partner, because I know how hard it is to find the right partner who's not only good to you, but also good for you.
I tell all my friends that are already married. Yeah, I'm at that age where some of my friends are already starting to get married, or like they maybe not necessarily marriage. You don't have to get married, but like they find their life partners already, and or maybe like just they found, like a very good partner, like Lona here in the back, for example. And I keep telling everybody, like, man, you guys are so lucky, because the streets out there, man, like these streets are rough. It is rough out there.
Yeah, and it has a lot to do with luck. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. I downloaded Hinge like sometime last week. And I had very high hopes going into Hinge, because I hear a lot of stories of my friends meeting their forever and always person, or like, you know, finding like really good quality partners on Hinge. And then, you know, days of scrolling. And the hard part is I'm based here in Jakarta, and not a lot of people really use Hinge here in Jakarta, but I should have set the location of Bali.
Yeah. I think you would probably get better.
No, so I jauh-jauh all the way to Singapore, you know, fucking Korea, London, and all, you know, all that. I was traveling the world on Hinge, girl. I'm not going to lie. Because I was like, because I'm trying to get out of here. So I'm trying to find somebody who can, like, you know, give me citizenship elsewhere. Yeah. Not going to lie. But I was like, okay, well, Jakarta's not working out. Let me go back to LA. See what the market back in LA is like. No good?
No good either.
It's so hard. I'm at that stage right now where I'm not actively looking to be in a relationship.
Even after putting yourself out there like this?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not actively. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's because I need to be more active in putting myself out there. Maybe I'm not putting myself out there enough. But where I'm at right now is that if somebody good comes along, then okay. But if not, that's fine. But maybe I should be more. Maybe I should ngejar more. I don't know.
Not ngejar.
Not
like,
ngejar. That's not the
I
right word.
I think it's
word,
it's but. Like, are you sure that this is what you want? Like a serious relationship is what you want?
I definitely want. I'm at the stage where I definitely, if the next relationship I get into, I want it to be serious and long term. I just don't know if. Okay, Gini. I know that I want it. Even now, it's more so, do I have space in my life for that right now?
Yeah.
In the midst of.
Are you actually available?
Am I?
There's a difference. We might want something, but can we actually, again, do we have the space? Do we have the capacity for that? Right.
Yeah.
Because again, relationships take a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work and effort.
Yeah. Open or not open.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Especially the part where you have, we have to keep choosing our partner every single day.
I guess a lot of people, they hold the opinion that, modern dating these days, like, it's all these people, like, they just want to cheat on each other. And, like, you know, nobody's loyal anymore. They're not built, like, people are not built the way that they were before. But then I'm like, at the same time, were our parents and grandparents any better?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also a little bit of that. But there are, I will say, and I'm not the most traditional person, but at the same time, there are a lot of elements of the way dating and courtship used to be back in our parents' time and our grandparents' time. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Like, there are things that our parents and our grandparents did back in their day that just, it works. And it's definitely a much healthier option, I think. And even just, like, you think of societies and cultures like Indonesia, for example, where I think the culture here is still more often people meet their partners or try to look for prospective partners through, like, kenalan teman, kenalan dari teman-teman, or like
going to juga.
Kenalan orang tua, jodohin. ketemu di tempat ibadah, yeah, that too. Like, and it's in a way, it's not in the I'm not saying this in the detriment of dating apps. Like, dating apps have definitely been a very invaluable resource to a lot of people in finding love. But at the same time, I think there's an element of dating apps and like something about swiping on people on like screens, kind of like going through them like menus, that kind of there's like a dehumanizing aspect to it, whereas right,
it's like we're ordering fast food delivery deliveries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it eliminates the element of surprise for sure, because we get to see their profile or what they put on their profile, and then we get to see their Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. But I think again, it gives us more fuel sebenarnya harusnya to get to know this person, because I see that this person likes hiking, or maybe this person has a podcast, maybe I try to listen to their podcast and then try to gauge what kind of person they are, and then dari situ mungkin bisa strike a conversation. Sebenarnya kan online dating enaknya ada enaknya gitu juga sih, because honestly I don't trust anyone who's not on Google.
Like that someone that, yeah, who has no digital footprint whatsoever. Yeah, no, these
days. If you're not on Google, I'm not gonna be going out with you at all.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. That these days that's more of like a security thing. Instead of okay. So you're of the opinion that certain people they turn to divorce as a solution to their issues a lot quicker. Like people give up
easier
these days, yeah.
Option for me.
Right, but that is true, yeah. Right, well, I mean, the nuance there is, you know, back in our parents' time and our grandparents' time, for sure, like, divorce wasn't even an option that was made available, like, and, you know, was not something, even in instances where they should be divorced, like that wasn't something that they could even access there because society would not let them, or like legally, like that wasn't even an option. But I also do agree, like these days, I think people do, people
see it as the first option instead of the last resort.
And some of my friends, they make this argument that in large part with dating apps, it's broadened up your options so much. It's given you too much options.
Yeah.
I made a point. I was talking about this with Peter and Shally in the group chats. One thing that when it comes to not so much modern dating, but more so like the modern understanding of a lot of people these days, they don't really know the difference between infatuation and love. And there was
lust.
And lust. But what was that point I made about obsession? I said it such a long time ago and I forgot to write it down, but I saw this one video of this girl explaining how if you are obsessed with somebody, chances are this person is not good for you. Whereas these days we live in a society that glamorizes that being obsessed with somebody, like we romanticize about having somebody to obsess over or having somebody obsess over us, like, and that is our idea of like, that's our understanding of being loved, when in reality, it's not. Because this girl, she was talking about how if you're obsessed with somebody, it's probably, you're obsessed with the space that is in between them. Like when you think about it, nobody that you have a healthy relationship with, that you have healthy access to, you're not obsessed over them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see it reflected so much even in just like the music that a lot of us are hearing these days too, of just like, yeah, that focus of like, I want somebody to be obsessed with me and I want somebody to obsess over, when like and we kind of internalize that as being love, and we internalize that as something being healthy, when in reality it's not. This is definitely a modern dating opinion, and I know this is one that I have a feeling when I put this up on TikTok, a lot of people are going to be really pissed at me for saying this, but I am a very firm advocate of living together with your partner before y'all get married.
Yep.
Let's talk about that. You live with Joe, right?
Not really, because we're kind of in a long distance relationship because he's not in Jakarta.
Okay.
But we do come visit each other, and then when we come visit, then we stay
with
each other for like however long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, but I lived with my ex for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I do encourage people to live together before they get married, because there are a lot of things that you wouldn't know mm-hmm. until you live with them.
Yeah.
Until you travel with them. Mm-hmm. Until there's money involved as well.
I mean, I hear a lot of stories of people, and obviously, I think this is still the norm in most cultures around the world where, I mean, yeah, you only live together once you get married, right? But then you hear stories of people, they get married and then it's the, you know, they finally start living together and they're just like upset, and even like instances where they would like split up because of just how incompatible it turns out mm-hmm. that their partner are mm-hmm. With one another.
Not just being incompatible because, yeah, sure, maybe we're more compatible with one person than uh-huh. the other, but then there's also not being able to adapt and adjust right. with each other again. So yeah. Like it's as simple as, I don't know, usually room temperature aja bisa berantem kan.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I prefer it warm. I prefer it 26. And my partner prefers 16. So I'm the one who has to sacrifice by wearing socks and then hoodies. Uh-huh. When I go to bed, you know,
yeah. I usually hear about from my friends is the fucking toothpaste.
Yeah,
like how you know some people they squeeze the toothpaste like yeah. yeah, roll it from the bottom, right? That's me. I have this disagreement not with my partner, but like with my mother. I squeeze it from the top. My mother's one of those people like she'll squeeze it from like the middle, and it annoys.
Or like anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, like, just it's from, so like, annoying, anywhere. Right? And it's annoying. But no, some of my friends like they be like, you know, they'll call me, they'll like start bitching about their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and it's like, yeah, because she won't close the goddamn fucking toothpaste. It's like simple things like that.
Or like toilet bowl.
Oh, the toilet seat.
Lid, yeah, the seat.
Yeah, yeah, that yeah, leaving the toilet seat open.
Yeah, or like a lot of other things actually, or like whether. They snore, for example.
Yeah, that too. You know what? This is gonna sound really fucking petty, but I don't think I can be with somebody that snores.
Yeah, but I think as time goes by, uh-huh. more likely than not, people are gonna snore.
Right. No, okay, but that's manageable. I'm not saying like if your partner snores and you know you can't handle that you should like dump them or you know get divorced with them. That's manageable. Get one of those like.
Oh no, actually, gini. So Joe is very open about it. He actually uses a CPAP machine because he has sleep apnea.
Yeah.
It's really bad. So I talk about it on my Instagram as well. So if you or your partner snores really bad, you might want to get it checked. To a sleep doctor. I think he goes to Kumayoran or something. I don't remember. But you can just look it up. Sleep doctor. Jakarta. Right. Or like Indonesia. Whatever. And then you get it checked. Because maybe there's an actual problem with your respiration system.
Oh, was there one with his?
Yeah. Sleep apnea. And then ininya, apparently like throatnya like too tight or something. Jadi uh-huh. kayak airnya gak flowing kalau lagi tidur. So anyway, jadi pakai CPAP machine. So
oh, I thought sleep apnea was a symptom that came along with like another...
What causes snoring.
Okay, mostly. Okay. Okay, okay.
Or some people snore when they have too much to drink, for right. example.
Yeah.
Yang kayak gitu-gitu sih. So I think we should start normalizing using CPAP. Because mm-hmm. I see a lot of people yang tidurnya ngorok udah like, ya udah, mm-hmm. take it or leave it. This is me. I snore.
Right.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, no, it like... Our quality of sleep matters too, you know?
Mm-hmm. My friend Divya, shout out to Divya, by the way, and today's her birthday. I'll be seeing you after we film this. But she wanted us to weigh in on this. I personally believe you got to condition your brain to be able to date more than one person, because that whole focusing on one person too early is how people get trapped with people they're not compatible with, but gained a strong attachment due to minimal options. Feel like you got strong opinions on that as someone who
I think we've been conditioned our whole life to, you know, if you love this person,
yeah.
then you have to be exclusive with that person. Padahal exclusivity does not equal love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even like love does not equal commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Sex does not equal love, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
Sex does not equal commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore. I think it's possible for some people to love more than one person mm-hmm. at once and actually building and maintaining relationships with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. Just because you can't understand it, just because you don't think it's possible for you, doesn't mean that, you know, it's not applicable for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, my opinion on this, I think this ties into what you were asking earlier about like, what different people would constitute as cheating. Mm-hmm. And there were definitely a lot of comments underneath this post that were saying, like, I mean, yeah, this just opens up the gateway to cheating. But to be honest, like, I support this in the context of when you're still in that talking stage, for sure. Because you don't, when you're still in that talking stage, like, you don't owe people shit. You're in the talking stage, and when you're still in the seeing stage. But once you actually start being in a relationship, like, once you sit down with that person and you have established that, okay, yeah, we're going to be in, I guess, for example, a relationship, like, well, what type of relationship, right? Maybe, like, this does not really apply to you as somebody in an open relationship, but definitely. No, I
mean, for this context, yeah, monogamous relationship. Yeah.
For this context, for me, for example, in a monogamous relationship, once you start dating, once you start being in a relationship, yeah, I would agree that it's unhealthy to be thinking like this. Because at the same time, like, there is a bit of truth to when people say that these days, part of modern dating is this attitude of giving up too fast, right? Because we have a lot of options, and yeah, that's true. What with the advent of dating apps, and also just globalization, right? Like, back in fucking the agricultural revolution, or, you know, like, back in the fucking caveman days, like, you don't really, your immediate circle is probably not more than 10 people, you know, like, you don't really have that much options. Whereas these days, it's like. Millions of people in a city, like, that you have access to, on top of that with dating apps. And so, yeah, I do agree, like, when you have too many options and you kind of use that as, like, your you rely too much of that on your safety net, it makes you lazy, for sure.
Yeah, but I think it's good to exercise good communication skills from early on. Jadi kayak, okay, yeah, we're still in the talking stage, but I think it's good to set out to communicate your intentions as well. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm looking for, like you said, a home run. Mm-hmm. So that's your intentions. It doesn't mean that I'm looking for a home run with you, but this is my end goal. Mm-hmm. So you need to be on the same page about it, right? Okay, we're on the talking stage. Yes, maybe I'm seeing you, but I'm also seeing other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's good to practice good communication skills.
Right. Yeah.
Regardless.
Right. I definitely agree. Like, don't focus on just one person too early. Like, there are some people that demand commitment even during, like, exclusivity during the talking stage, which is, like, fucking crazy to me. That's also
I don't know you.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's crazy. Like, when I came back here to Indonesia, like, that seems to be the sort of general attitude here. Of, like, when I tell people that I'm talking to multiple people, suddenly they look at me like I'm a fucking whore. And it's like, that's...
You're not?
Yeah. It's like, you're committing to one person like that early on is also, yeah, not, it's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, where's that? What do you think of, like, the whole, I kind of almost don't want to talk about this because honestly, it's so fucking petty.
Abba.
The whole bill splitting thing. Like, that's like a big thing. That people talk about.
It's still gonna be. It's always gonna be a perpetual debate. For right. Sure.
Did you see the other day? Like, it started to trend again. Like the WhatsApp
every
chat.
Every year.
WhatsApp chat. No, like, quite literally yesterday. Like, the WhatsApp chat of this girl, and, like, if she went on a date with this guy, this guy messages her, asks her to split, and she's like, okay, berapa? It's like 40,000. And then the comments just go fucking wild. Every time, like, these sort of conversations happen, or, like, these instances happen, and you post it on social media, and, like, it's just.
Yeah.
Comments go crazy.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, we don't know their situation. Like, it doesn't mean, I don't think it means that belum tentu dianya hitungan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't compare with someone who's on the, you know, 0.1%
of the
market. Maybe emang kalau, you know, makan berdua, let's say 80,000, every time cowoknya yang bayarin, it adds up, right?
Yeah, right.
Kalau gajinya cuma, let's say, UMR, kan berat juga.
Right.
And then especially if they have responsibilities and whatever.
Everything just keeps coming back to communication.
Yeah. And expectations.
Yeah.
Communicating
your expectations, and also just communicating and being real with, like, what you can and cannot provide. Not even just, like, in a financial sense, but in an emotional and physical sense as well. God, I haven't even been on a date in so long. What do I talk about on the first date? I guess my focus on the first date is usually just, like, I want to make sure before we even try to do anything romantic and sexual with one another, like, can we even be friends, right?
Yeah,
can we even be friends? So it's like, I talk to them, like, if I don't feel like I can talk to you as a friend and talk about the things that I normally would have, like, my other friends, like, that's usually like a no-go with me.
Yeah, I think that's very wise of you, because I always say this on my socials as well, like, if you can't laugh with them, don't sleep with them.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Because people forget, like, you know, people just think about, like, they think about the sex part and, like, you know, finally getting in bed with them. They don't think about, like, what's going to happen after you're done having sex. And, like, yeah, the pillow talk can get very awkward if you don't know
To talk about. During sex as well. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we think about what we see in porn, but then it's edited, it's filtered, it's scripted. Mm-hmm. Whereas in reality, there's a lot of maybe, quote-unquote, embarrassing things that could happen during sex as well, and you need to be able to talk about it, communicate, and then, like, laugh it off, right, together with your partner. Mm-hmm. That's why it's very important.
I guess on the topic of contentions with, like, dating these days, and I want to disclaim, I understand that I'm not really the person to talk, considering that I'm celibate as shit, and also, like, I'm definitely not dating anybody, and I don't even remember the last time that I've been on a date. But I do think people should start getting more creative with, like, first date options. Is that fair to say? Like, okay, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's dates more than I do. Movies are definitely not a good way to go on a first date, or to go on dates with, for that matter. Because, yeah, like, you just sit there and you just watch this movie and maybe you talk about it
didn't that used to be the thing, like, back in
2012? Yeah, jaman dulu banget. But then, to be fair, we're, like, better generation, but still in the olden days,
yeah. First date, like, I want to get to know you, want to go watch a movie where we spent, like, 2 hours just sitting there not talking to each other because we're watching a movie.
I know, right? It's like,
wow.
Yeah, I think what would be a fun first date for you?
Oh, my. Okay. My ideal first date is we go get ice cream together and we just walk around and talk for, like, 6 hours.
Yeah, right?
I'm a simple girl in that sense. Like,
it would be nice to have a park here where we can just walk around, right?
Yeah. But we don't. So here in Jakarta, I have to settle for walking around malls.
Kedi, Beverly Hills gitu loh.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even thinking of Beverly Hills. I ain't that bougie shit. But, like I would.
When you were in LA.
Yeah. Beverly Hills is not a park, but I mean, just walk around anywhere. My perfect idea of the first date is, yeah, we go grab ice cream together and then we just spend the next 6 hours talking while walking around eating ice cream, and maybe if we want to be cute, we can hold hands too. But, like, yeah, that's me. What about you?
More or less the same, because I like getting to know this person.
What's your love language?
Guess. Just top three, lah.
Top three? I want to say, I feel like you're a words of affirmation type of girl. No?
No.
No.
Access service, physical touch, quality time.
Okay.
I'm guessing yours is quality time, physical touch.
quality time, access service, and then what's the other one?
Gifts.
No, guess us last
words of affirmation.
I think it's words of affirmation. Yeah, I need the reassurance once in a while too. I mean, shit. Oh, what was the most, like, I guess, what was the most memorable date that you've ever been on?
On a hike, because I mean, you're stuck with them for the whole day.
Nothing,
the whole hike.
Nothing bonds the two of you together like getting through a hike.
Yeah, for sure. And especially if my shoes were new, and then, like, I could observe, mm-hmm, and how, you know, Joe treated me, like, ini extra service banget, because he was the one tying my shoelaces, like, salah soalnya waktu itu, terus dia yang benerin, gitu-gitu. Mm-hmm. And then soalnya, I think you can kind of see people's true colors when, mm-hmm, you're going hiking with them.
I can see that.
Yeah, like, are they patient with you? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe kayak kalau yang seenaknya aja mungkin makan ditinggal gitu kan, ya malas juga. Like, buat apa gue why am I here? Mm. Right? And then for the whole day, can you, you know, talk with them?
Yeah.
Like, about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I am.
I go hiking, diving, skydiving.
Right, yeah, you know, you're literally going diving for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, that could not be me. Also, fun fact, I cannot swim.
I can't swim either, but I'm learning.
How anyway. Do you not know how to swim, but you're going diving for
different sets, different skill set?
Oh, deadass? Yeah. Okay, because I don't do well being in the water like at all. Like I definitely have like
deep it's an trauma. Important life skill.
Uh-huh. No, people have told me before the irony of like me being from Indonesia and not being able to swim. Just because I guess a lot of people think like, oh, because like you're from an island and it's like,
oh, I thought gara-gara banjir di mana-mana.
Oh yeah, that too. I thought about it, like what if I lived in somewhere like Kemang, for example, because Kemang is also prone to like
orang Sunter, dude.
Yeah, but I'm not built for nature, and so hiking has never been something. Like I think about it, I'm like, oh, we should go hiking, we should go trekking, but then I know myself, like I am not built for it. Like there's mosquitoes everywhere, like I can't like how much. If I gotta take a piss, if I gotta like dig a hole in the ground.
Actually, yeah. Fun times.
No, do you think chivalry is dead? In this modern dating?
No. Because I think I've been lucky to be with guys who open doors for me still until now.
Uh-huh. Well, I was about to ask you, like, what's even your definition of chivalry, right? Because I don't even think chivalry is... I think a lot of people, they think of chivalry like the... you know, more material things like opening the door for you and like what I guess men back then used to like take their coat off and like, you know, so that you don't step on like a puddle or, you know, some shit like that. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's one definition of
chivalry.
It's like, yeah, that's one definition of chivalry.
Tapi emang apa lagi kalau nggak kayak gitu?
Oh, because
what else?
I think to me chivalry is more so like how I define chivalry is like a man that is willing to provide and sacrifice himself for his family.
Would you do the same?
If I were a man?
No.
I mean,
if you were, no.
Yeah, no, I would do the same for, yeah, true. Yeah. That's also the thing. Like, I don't think chivalry should be so much of a gendered concept.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so according to Merriam-Webster, chivalrous means marked by honor, generosity, and courtesy. So I guess sebenarnya it's not, yeah. Tapi ditulisnya courtesy and high-minded consideration, especially to women. I guess it's a
patriarchal
concept. But I agree to what you're saying.
Right.
I think in a relationship, it has to be it has to be mutual gitu loh. Like you said, I think a healthy relationship has to have that I know you do the same for me.
Yeah.
The confidence to say that.
Reciprocity.
Yeah, to say that to your partner. I know you would do the same for me.
Yeah. I will say, like, what I do love about being in this modern age. Like, I'm telling you guys, I wake up every day and I kiss the floor and thank the Lord that of all the times for me to be born as a woman, and especially as a woman of color, I was born as a woman of color today, right? Because, I mean, I think what's the nice part about, I guess, yeah, modern dating, like, you know, just dating as a woman in this day and age is also that, I mean, yeah, like, times have progressed and people are not so, we're not as restricted to, you know, the confines of gender norms the way that our parents and our grandparents were, for example. And, like, I guess it is a much more generally accepted notion, maybe not in this part of the world, but, like, for sure, like, back in the States, for example, where it's like, yeah, like, like being chivalrous is not something that only men should be, like women should also be chivalrous towards their men and just vice versa. But yeah, let me know what you guys think down below if you guys think chivalry is
dead.
Honestly, I feel like the people that complain too much about chivalry being dead, I don't think that chivalry is dead in the modern world. It's just that we've expanded chivalry because we're breaking outside of the gender norms, and then people see that as like, oh, chivalry is now dead, because it's like the whole conversation of like, oh, a man should be this, a man should be that, and it's like,
yeah, like a man should angkat galon, for example, whereas women do CrossFit too now, and women can angkat galon too.
I think that is pretty much it for this episode. Let me know down below any of your unpopular modern dating opinions, if you guys have any. And as always, be sure to like, comment, and fucking subscribe. You can't. Her information is all down below, even though I'm sure most of y'all are already way ahead in, you know, following up with her on the internet. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you
so much, Inda.
thank you so much for being here. Oh my god. And yeah, that's about it. Bye-bye.